Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
How's it going? Thanks for stopping by to check in as we shelter in place together. Coming up in just a moment, a great conversation with Dennis Patchen, a true icon in Spokane sports television and radio. But first, a word from our sponsor. I didn't become a coffee drinker until the last couple years. In fact, now doing it as a daily jumpstart, even getting through intermittent fasting, it was never really good. Just something to do, to get through, to start the day. That's changed since I've been turned on to the I'm Up Coffee Company. What separates it from the bigger names you buy off the shelf is the quality. It's roasted to order and shipped the same day. You can get ground and whole beans that are single origin and expert blends. Now, I have the Sunrise Hike Roast Colombian from volcanic loam soil at altitude. It goes perfectly with a couple pieces of dark chocolate, maybe three or four if I have discipline. Order online and use the promo code Dave Lewis, all one word, Dave Lewis, to get 50% off your first order. The I'm Up Coffee Company. That's imupcoffee.com. Your favorite cup of coffee hasn't been roasted yet. All right, now let's do this. A chat with my good friend, Dennis Patchen. What a rush, Pacific Northwest Sports Institution, Dennis Patchen. How's it going?
Good. Did you pay extra for those sound effects? That's some pretty impressive stuff
there. I just upgraded for you.
Well, then you need to get your money back.
Hey, you sent me a picture, and it's a part of the promotion for the podcast. Back when you looked good in Las Vegas for the West Coast Conference Tournament, and then the current edition, you're a mess.
Yeah. Yeah. The original picture is the last selfie I had of myself. I took ran up to the Red Panda at the WCC tournament. And I said, can I take a selfie with you? And before she said yes, no, or get away from me, I just popped it and then ran right out of there. And then apparently she went out and dropped a bunch of bowls that night. So it was probably my fault, but for getting her off her game. But then, yeah, I took one as I got up this morning, and I brushed my hair out so it sticks straight out. And it's COVID. It's home seclusion, you know. You always look good, Dave. I mean, you're fit, you're in shape, you keep yourself maintained. I don't do any of those. So,
well, I mean, why won't your wife at least break out the clippers then?
We look for them. We don't have them. Plus, I'm a guy, I'm a guy of the 70s, and I had long hair, and I don't have a problem with just letting it go. So when I got off of TV after 36 years, I didn't get a haircut for 9 months. And so this is the perfect excuse for me. I guess barbershops in our part of the state are actually going to open on Monday, but I'm guessing it's going to be at least 3 months before I go in there, unless I got some kind of TV responsibility that I have to do someplace that somebody wants me to do, or I got to go speak it. Well, we probably aren't doing that, but yeah, no, I only get haircuts now when I absolutely have to.
What does your wife think of that?
She doesn't care. We've been married for 40 years. She's done trying to teach me. She actually, what she did was kind of funny. She actually, well, after I had, cause I got it cut after 9 months, I can't remember what it was. I think I had to do a game or something. Oh, I had to anchor Hoop Fest coverage, cause I was still working for the company doing radio, but I had to do a morning newscast. So I had to get my hair cut. And there was another time that, you know, a couple months later that I said, I don't think I'm going to cut my hair again. And she's very careful to make sure that she doesn't, say, you're not going to do that again, or don't do that again, because she knows it's the exact opposite. So she asked me, are you going to let your hair grow again? And I said, yeah, probably. I don't know. And she goes, huh, and just walked away. And that's kind of the way of like, man, nah, maybe I shouldn't do it again. So I'll get it cut soon, but, I don't think it's going to be for at least a couple of months.
You had an unbelievable run going back to KXLY 1984, I believe, until the shutdown.
Yeah. 36 years, 2 months at the same company doing about 33 years for television and on and off, probably mostly on, probably doing 34 years of radio, including about 30 of sports talk.
Were you blindsided by the news?
You know, Dave, you get into this business, you know, anybody who's been in the broadcast business, radio or television, knows that you're probably not going to get to go out on your own terms. I'm 62, so I probably got 3 more years, you know, of what I want to do other than just doing play-by-play games. So not really, but, you know, they just signed me to a new contract and then they let me go 3 months into it. So I guess the question you could probably say is a little bit, but you know, we were prepared and we're doing way better, financially than a lot of people in the country are right now.
You were the last locally produced sports show in Spokane, and you actually got to go out and do a show. Nobody ever gets fired and gets to go on the air again. It's like, you know, give me your card and your desk has been cleared out. So what was that like for you doing a final show knowing that was it?
We talked to our managers, our boss, and then her boss above him, who used to be our boss and then got promoted within the company. And I've known our big boss for probably 25 years. And I've known my direct boss probably at least a decade. And her husband actually was in charge of our radio group for a long period of time, back in the late 80s, early 90s, almost up to the 2000s. So we had a really nice working relationship. And I don't know if they were wanting to let us do our last show, but the guy I do the show with, has been at the with the company for a year longer than I have. So he had been there about 37 years, and I'd been there about 36 years. And we just said it's not fair to the listener for us to go away. Because one of the complaints you always hear, and being in the business as long as I've been in, one of the complaints you always hear is people never got to say goodbye. They never got to say, I'm leaving, I'm moving on, or I'm retiring. They just all of a sudden in radio or television are gone, and you never know what's going to happen. And you don't know what happens to them. And we thought it was important to be able to say goodbye to our listeners, especially our listeners that had been with us for, you know, a decade, 2 decades, had known Rick and I. I mean, there's a lot of people in town that, you know, that grew up with us on television, both of us. And, you know, we were the sports voices while the other two stations were changing and continuing the rotation. We had been there for a long period of time, and we grew up with probably 2 generations of at least I had. Rick got out of TV a little earlier than I did, of something along the lines of that guy's always been on TV. He's always been the sports guy. So they allowed us to do it. It was weird because we did the first 2 hours of the show just like a normal show. And then the last hour of the show, at the top of the hour, we told people that we were leaving. And we thanked a lot of people, and we read some of the emails. And, you know, it was a nice way to be able to go out. It's a nice way. And I always said I was appreciative of our management for allowing us to do that, because a lot of managements wouldn't, because they're afraid of what you're going to say on the air. But having known us as long as they have us and known us as the professionals that we are, they knew we weren't going to say anything. And we just went out and told the people thank you and goodbye and kind of ride off into the sunset.
How emotional was that sign off?
I don't know for me. It was more important for me to say goodbye than it was for me to say, this is the last time you're going to hear me. Or maybe hear me. I don't know. We may do a podcast like you're doing. We don't know what we're going to do. I mean, you know, Rick's 63, I'm 62. We may just, you know, find a part-time job driving a school bus or serving lunches when we go back in the fall and call it good. I mean, I've got Idaho football I'm still doing the last 2 years. I've done Seattle U basketball on the radio for a station in Seattle. So I've got things I can do, but it was one of the guy who produces our show, runs our board, and is kind of our third guy. He was very emotional because he's one of those guys. He's 42. He's one of those guys who grew up with us as a sports fan, either being on television or being on the radio. And he got really emotional. And the good news for him is he's a younger guy. He got to keep his job. So, I mean, he's he's still running the station, which is now basically 24/7 ESPN, as opposed to having a local show for 3 hours, which I was the program director. He's kind of assumed all those duties. I think both Rick and I are beyond that emotional time, and maybe it was time to go. I always said 36 years in one market at one station in my business, in our business, Dave, is a really good run. And I'm really okay with what we did, how we did it, how we accomplished it. And if that's the end, and if that's, you know, if I don't do anything ever again, other than to be a husband, a dad, and a grandpa, I'm really good with that.
Yeah, those are pretty good side hustles, being the husband, grandfather. That's a good gig right there.
Yeah.
Do you want to do talk radio again?
I don't know. I enjoy talking sports. I certainly don't enjoy, some of the other stuff that we do, and some of the day-to-day business aspects. I don't know. We're kind of kicking around maybe a podcast. I don't know if somebody came to me and said, "You got to do it. Would you do a 3-hour show 5 days a week?" I don't know if I don't want to do that. I haven't decided. And I guess because I don't have a real financial need at this point in time to actually go out and find something. I've looked into a couple of things, but they've been kind of in the sports world, but not in the broadcast world. So I don't know. I mean, if somebody said you've done your last radio show, are you okay with that? I would say today, yes.
Good for you.
I've been doing this since I was 19 years old. So, I mean, I've been in the radio. I got my first job when I was 19, playing records Saturday and Sunday night, 6 to midnight, my freshman year in college. So I've been doing this a long time. So maybe it's time to do something else.
I want to get your thought on some things that have been going on, get the perspective from the Northwest as opposed to what's going on in the Bay Area. First of all, your thoughts on the shocking Night Angel win over Turtle to take the Masked Singer finale last night.
I did not watch the episode of, and thanks for ruining it for me. No.
Sorry.
We actually watched a couple of them, and I think it's probably one of those dirty pleasures that after you watch it, you kind of feel a little guilty, but then you don't. Sorry to disappoint you, Dave, but I actually watched a sporting event. I watched the NASCAR race from Darlington last night. So I guess I lost on that. So I apologize for not seeing it. But,
well, it just makes me.
I have watched it before, so
it makes me analyze my life. Like, what am I doing?
Well, I mean, you think about it, sports guys. I don't know about you, but I really can't watch a game over again. We had the series in 95 where the Mariners beat the Yankees on Edgar Martinez's, double and extra innings in game 5, the deciding game. That's been on, I think, twice since we went into this kind of this lockdown situation. And for me, pick it up at the top of the, was it 12th? Man, Mariner fans are going to hate me. But pick it up in the last inning. I'll sit through that. I can't watch greatest games. I mean, there was one on the other day, the NFL Network. Was it one of the Super Bowls? I think it was the Bengal 49ers Super Bowl. And that was a heck of a football game. But I've seen it. I know the outcome of it. So I'm not, so I don't, I haven't watched a lot of sports. Because I need that live, I don't know what's going to happen kind of a thing. So I'm, as a former history minor with my degree with my journalism background, I've been watching a lot of historical things. I've been watching PBS. I've been watching some stuff I don't normally watch. So I'm ready for sports though.
But how can you have not watched The Last Dance? Well, I mean, any sports guys watch that.
Yeah, I wanted to binge watch it. I can't remember what I watched a few years ago. It wasn't a sporting thing, but it was a it was a historical thing. And when the episode was over, I was disappointed because I couldn't watch another one. And it was really hard to not watch the first two episodes. But once I made it through that, then it was really easy just to wait and watch it. And I've got the Memorial Day weekend coming up. And I'm going to watch it this weekend. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to watch. Let me put it this way. I'm probably going to watch 5 or 6 hours in the first sitting, go to bed, and then get up and watch the second sitting.
Yeah.
And go through it. But here's my problem is, I'm not completely, I mean, I know what happens. I know the whole Jordan story. And if you, I mean, you don't, you've been living under a rock or something, but it doesn't make the Sonics look very good. And that's the team we've covered here in the Northwest. And I was there in Seattle for two of those three playoff games that they played in Seattle. It doesn't make John Stockton look very good. From what I've read on, or basically even acknowledge him. And he's a guy who grew up in Spokane, and I've known John for a long time. My first year here was his last year in college. So, you know, it's I'm a Jordan fan as a player. I'm not a big Jordan fan as a person. I don't get Dennis Rodman. I don't get the infatuation with him. I just think I always look at guys as coaches. I always look at, would I let my kids go play for them? Players I look at, would I like to be in the locker room with them? And Dennis Rodman does not check any boxes for me. And Phil Jackson is a very interesting man, but he's, yeah. So I think it's CTV for me, Dave, but I don't know if it's must see. And that's why I was okay with waiting to binge watch it.
Yeah. I think you will learn a lot. In fact, you were talking about Seattle and Gary Payton. This really blew my mind because the Bulls won the first three games of that series in 96, and then it's back to Seattle. Actually, they needed to win, keep the season, keep the hope alive. And here's Gary Payton talking about shutting down Michael Jordan in games 4 and 5.
A lot of people back down the bike. I didn't. I made it a point. I said, just tire him out. Tire the f*** out of him. You just got to tire him out. And I kept hitting him and banging him and hitting him and banging him. It took a toll on Mike. It took a toll. And then I feel so selfish, resting him a little bit. And then the series changed. And I wish I could have did it earlier. I don't know if the outcome would have been different, but it was a difference. I'm beating him down a little bit.
The glove. I had no problem with the glove. I had no problem with Gary Payton. I had a lot of other things on my mind.
Man, I love that. I could hear that over and over, and just so dismissive of a really great defensive player.
Yeah, you know, two things you learn from that. One, Gary Payton is very confident in his abilities to do anything, basketball or anything else. That's something you know about Gary Payton. The other thing is Michael Jordan always gets the last word, and he's going to be dismissive about everybody. So, you know, I don't know if Gary Payton affected him or not. I know that Michael, in the two games that I was at in Seattle where the Sonics won those games, he had one really good game, and I think he had one where he struggled a little bit. But when you're up 3-0, you're not losing the NBA championship. And, you know, maybe the Bulls took their foot off the accelerator just a little bit. That's completely understandable.
You said that you didn't think you'd be a fan of Jordan as a person. There was one segment of this, and I know you've been kind of trying to stay away from it too much, but you can't avoid some of the commentary and some of the little excerpts of it. So he was asked about his competitive nature and being tough on his teammates. And I thought, to me, this was my favorite part of the entire series.
When people see this, they're going to say, well, he wasn't really a nice guy. He may have been a tyrant. Oh, well, that's you, because you never wanted anything. I wanted to win, but I wanted them to win and be a part of that as well. Like, I don't have to do this. I'm only doing it because it is who I am. That's how I played the game. That was my mentality. If you don't want to play that way, Don't play that way. Break.
You're clearly bothered by the way he's perceived by other people and explaining the way he went about business. I thought that was pretty cool, pretty powerful.
Yeah, again, I don't have anything. I don't have a problem with anything Michael Jordan ever did with his uniform on. If you're going to play with Michael, especially if you're going to be a free agent and sign with him and play with those guys, you know, I mean, it's like signing up to play for Bobby Knight. You know what you're getting into. You can't complain about how it's going to be. So I don't have a problem with that. I just, some of the things I've read and some of the things aren't true, but some of the things, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. He kind of took some of that desire to be the greatest on the court and took it with him off the court and, you know, didn't treat people great. I mean, I lost some respect for Michael Jordan, Dave, when he, you know, in the Hall of Fame speech that he gave where he blasted his high school coach,
the guy who cut him when he was a sophomore.
Yeah. Do you really have to do that? I mean, use that motivation, sure, to get on the varsity and then get North Carolina and then the NBA or whatever. But the Hall of Fame speeches are to thank people who helped you get there. And I wasn't a fan of that. And so I'll be interested to see if my opinion changes or stays the same after I watch this. Because, again, I don't have any problem with what he did on the court with people at all. I mean, you know, he wanted to win. You should be there to win. If you're there just to get your millions of dollars and ride off into the sunset, then I don't want you in my locker room. And I don't have a problem with that. Some of the things, it's like, wow, I don't think you really had to do that, did you? I mean, he's not playing. He hasn't played a game in, what, 20 years?
Yeah, 2003 with the Wizards.
Yeah. You don't need that anymore. You got more money than you can spend. You're in every Hall of Fame you can possibly be eligible for. You don't have to be that way anymore.
Well, you got to send me a text after you watch it because it's must-see. You're going to not want to stop after any episode. You want to go all the way through.
That's why I waited because I knew I could. If I watched the first two, it would be agony waiting for the second one. It was just easier just to watch it all at once.
Let's talk about some other things that are going on. We'll start with your area. And will the Seahawks get Jadeveon Clowney? We've been talking about this song and dance for months.
I don't think so. I think that they set a number early on. And when he wasn't interested in playing for that, John Schneider, the general manager, has done a really good job over the years of basically with free agency setting a number. And if you want more than that, then we wish you the best. He has not re-signed a whole lot of first round picks. I think that with what Seattle sent Houston a year ago, everybody figured, well, it was, you know, we can't afford to not sign him considering what we gave up, the kind of the thing they've done a couple of other times. But John Schneider sets that number, and if you're over that number, then he's willing to move on and find some other people. I think what you look, Dave, is, and the Quentin Dunbar situation is going to be interesting, but I think what they looked at is when they gave the number to Clowney at the combine and he basically laughed at it, and the speculation was that he wanted at least $4 million more than the Seahawks were offering at that point. Seahawks went out and said, okay, well, if we can't improve our pass rush, how about we improve our secondary? And then that way, maybe we can cover these guys for a half a second longer, which will allow our pass rush to be able to do some things. And I think that's the direction that they decided to go because it was much cheaper for the pieces that they got to be able to improve their overall defense that way. I think the bigger problem, and we're talking, you know, a lot of people in the Pacific Northwest are talking about the ability to rush the passer, and the Seahawks weren't very good at that last year. But the other problem is they weren't very good against the run either. And that's why they re-signed Quentin Jefferson in the middle of that defensive line and keeping Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright. I think that they're trying to figure out a way to improve that. So certainly the Seahawks aren't going to be as good defensively no matter who they have as they were, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, but they're better offensively. Russell Wilson is a better quarterback. I don't want to, if I'm an NFL defense, I don't want to see him with the football in his hands with 2 minutes or 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, because he wins games for people. And I think you're going to see the Seahawks shift just a little bit to maybe, you know, we can't just score 18 points and win a game. We might have to score 25 points and win a game. We might have to get one more touchdown than we have been able to do. And I mean, you know, they didn't have a great defense last year and they were still pretty good. So it'll be interesting to see how the makeup of this team lands, but I just don't think Jadeveon Clowney is going to be in a Seahawk uniform.
26th in total defense and 29th in sacks last year as a team.
Yeah. You don't have to tell me. We had to do Monday talk shows after they couldn't get to the quarterback for like 5 weeks in a row. Thanks a lot, pal, for reminding me.
I apologize. Hey, what do you think about college football with the announcement the NCAA made that starting on June 1st, teams will be allowed to have voluntary practices?